Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in. This is In This League live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. It's the three-hour radio show that doesn't have 3 hours of me, but it does have 3 hours of Bogman, and you're also going to get a couple of our buddies, Casey Bubba from the Bench with Bubba podcast, which you should check out, and, of course, everybody's favorite, Mr. John Law. Bogman, what's up, man?
What is going on? Yeah, I mean, if you guys are ready for John Lobb in that third hour, you can turn that volume on down because John is intense. If you don't know who Bubba is, he's a lot of fun. So we're going to have a great time here talking so much football today. I am amped.
Are you going to be doing any college with Lobb or?
No, we're going to be doing NFL. Okay. We've done enough college. So
though I will say, I think Lobb,
that tree enough.
Yeah, I think Lobb, if I saw this correctly on during the weekdays, if you guys listen to FNTSY, Craig Mish, I think, had Lobb on, if I remember correctly. And I think they did they might have been joking about it, but it might be real that they did like the first live college fantasy football draft, like on a radio platform, you know, because college fantasy football doesn't get enough love. But I'm pretty sure Mish had Lobb on and they were doing some college fantasy football stuff, which is pretty solid. So look at that. FNTSY's got you covered all the way. So Casey Bubba, are you going to do some baseball with Bubba or is he going to get into football or golf?
No, I'm definitely not going to do golf because I don't know a damn thing about
Somebody
golf.
Asked me that the other day. They were like, hey, let me ask you a question. Do you like golf or do you play golf? And I was like, no on both.
Neither.
And I was like, I can swing a club. I'm actually going to... are you familiar with what Top Shot is?
Yeah.
Or Top Golf. I'm sorry, Top Golf.
Top Golf. It's over. It's by me. So.
Yeah, I'm going to that. I'll be that next week. And I've done it once before, and that's fun. But I can't hit a wood for the life of me. It'll never happen. I'm just horrible. If you know you're trying to drive something 100 or 300 yards, I can't do it. I cannot hit it. Might have to do with my height. Because I'm 6'4" and I've never had like size clubs, but for the life of me, I've played golf like 3 or 4 times in my life. Just about there. And I got to stop. I can't do the wood. So, but you get me to irons, I can play with some irons. So when I would do Top Golf, all I do is irons. I don't try to crush the ball because I have no talent. So I do have a little bit of skill. I enjoy that. I do not enjoy being out on a course, hitting a ball, it going 400 feet to the right and being like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we trying to do here? Am I trying to hit a ball and then mark a 17 on this one hole? No, thanks. Golf is, I know this is blasphemous to some, is just the epitome of put my head through a television so I could never watch it and never would watch it. It's more fun. It's like tennis to me. It's more fun to play than it is to watch, but still that's overselling that I would ever play golf. Have you ever actually played like at a course?
Zero shares. Look, golf is expensive because not only are the clubs expensive and stuff. I mean, if you save up and you get a good set of clubs, you're set for a long time. I understand that. But I also don't want to pay to play golf. I don't want to wake up early in the morning. You know, these are all things that aren't really for me. So yeah. I'm not interested at all in golf. And I'm just never going to be. It's not going to be one of those things that I even probably develop later in life.
Can you name three golfers?
Tiger Woods.
I'll give you him.
Phil Mickelson.
Okay.
And, I mean, another golfer. I don't know.
Isn't John Daly?
Vijay Singh.
Isn't John Daly the one that looks like he eats Carl's Jr.?
Yeah, exactly.
I think he does this bit somewhere I've seen where he, like, buys McDonald's. And he goes out or he like parks in front of a McDonald's or something and just like autograph sessions during, I don't know if it's like the Masters or something. Like that guy is just purely, I do things my own way. He's our type of golf. If there was a golf representation of ITL, it's John Daly for sure. Everybody else, I just don't know who you are. And, you know, I just know you wear very colorful, tight Nike shirts. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I know. And it's kind of wasted on us too, because there are so many golf courses out here in Arizona, and the winter time is a perfect time to golf here because the weather's nice and all that stuff. But I just, you know, it's there are just so many things that you could be involved in.
So many activities.
So many activities, so much room for activities in Arizona. And it's just not something that I'll ever get into. It's just too expensive. It's like, for me, I'm not into guns either because they're expensive. It's not that I don't like guns or shooting. I just, it's expensive. I don't need to be spending my money on stuff.
Yeah, you've got very specific expensive things. Like, your expensive is going to be paying the $1,200 or whatever it is for the NFL package and the NBA
right.
and the baseball. You're going to buy all the TV packages. That's where the money goes.
Right, DirecTV. That's where all of my
Direct
money
TV.
Goes.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't go golfing because I got to pay this DirecTV bill. That's exactly what it is.
So. Well, we got to the bottom of it. So Casey Bubba is good with the golf DFS, so that'll be fun stuff. But enough talking about what's happening when I'm not here. Let's talk about things while I'm here. You guys, of course, can come check us out over on Patreon if you would like, patreon.com/ITL Army. Lots and lots of stuff. And one thing we are going to actually talk about in the next segment, most likely, is our ranks just updated on Patreon. So if people want to go check that out, our fantasy football ranks, they are PPR based. You can obviously make adjustments for, you could see the standard adjustments and half point. Those things are easy to do, but we like to go full PPR when we do it. So we've got a top 150 overall, and we've got our positional ranks with tiers. Those just updated. We also just dropped the fantasy football podcast on Friday, which was our mock draft. But in the episode, we were talking about, I kind of signified five big rank movers. And, you know, there's guys towards the bottom and stuff that are going to move in and out. You know, I think we talked about like guys like Preston Williams and Rashard Higgins and stuff like that. But we were talking about a couple of the big rank movers. What we are going to do in a little bit is take what Fantasy Pros has been doing and identify their big rank movers. So that's what we're going to do here shortly. But our ranks are available. Plus, we've got the Fantasy Football GroupMe rooms. Tons of people in there, the start and sit rooms for when the season starts. I'm telling you right now, if you're a fantasy football guy and you like to have conversation on the day of who do I start, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, maybe you tweet your favorite people. Maybe you get one response. The start and sit rooms are worth it. They're worthwhile because they just pop off. They absolutely pop off in the season. So that's just a little heads up to you guys. Plus, all the other audio universe that is ITL exists on Patreon. So you can check it out. So we'll do the ranks, but NFL preseason, week two on Thursday. Oh, got to get a gauge real quick, Bogman. No Ezekiel Elliott, week two of the preseason.
Getting worried.
I get a little bit worried. All right.
A little bit worried. I mean, look, it's just human nature, right? So, you know, a couple weeks ago, I'm like, I'm fine. I'm not panicking about this at all. And now the more that I think about it, the more that I dwell on it, and it's probably because it's a preseason. We don't have, you know, real stuff to distract us outside of, you know, driving to Carl's Jr. and things of that nature. I'm starting to get a little more worried. So I did have to move him down in my rankings. I didn't drop him, you know, Melvin Gordon deep, but I dropped him significantly.
We have another show that we do. The amount of things that Bogman and I are on. I'm currently been doing CBS over on Fantasy Baseball Today. We're here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Another thing that we do as well is we are on the Fantasy Black Book with Joe Pizzapia on Fantrax. And we've got a charity listener league that we're doing. And that kicked off on Friday. And I had no, I kind of even was like, I forgot we were going to get going with it. But I saw some tweets and everything. And I was like, okay, no.
Oh, I didn't. Our guy Dan has hit me up 6 times because I was on the clock for 2 hours.
Oh, you got that? So, you got that bit?
Yes.
All right. Well, yes. I mean, you're on for just a couple bit. But it's a slow draft. So what does it matter? I didn't know where I was picking. And I looked this morning because I got the email that's like, hey, you're next up. And I was like, oh, okay. And I click on it and I was 5. And for a second, I thought I was 4. And Bogman, when I saw that I thought I had four, I went, no, because I knew Elliot was going to be there. Then I had 5 and I was in this spot where I was like, okay, if I have 5 and Elliot's there, not that it's that much more different than 4, but I'm good. I can go with Elliot, but I'd rather not be in that situation. Like I wish if I could give me 3 or maybe go and give me like 9. I kind of didn't want 4 or 5 even to mess with it. And it's going to look silly for the people that, you know, the guy that guys, I didn't have 4. Elliot went 4, by the way. I had 5. I followed Brand. I took Todd Gurley. So, you know, no worries here. I did what I would do. But like, it will seem silly when he shows up and these guys who got him at 4 and 5, they're just going to be, you know, just jamming. Everyone's going to be super excited. But we are in the space where it's a little bit of a worry. I don't even want to have that situation. Just let me have McCaffrey or Kamara or Barkley, or let me be lower so I can go and get James Conner and then I can come back around and get Nick Chubb. I'd love to do that. I kind of don't want to mess because I feel like this is it's already a weird season and we're in the preseason right now, man. I mean, we've got maybe one of the hottest running back names in Kansas City and the best offense, possibly rotation. You've got 2 first round running backs that are holding out. You've got another guy that wants to retire because he doesn't have the right helmet and he's got disgusting blistery feet. And it's just like, that's all just the first couple rounds of players and the season hasn't even started. It feels like a year where I want to mitigate risk.
I tell you what, I'm on the clock right now in the charity league.
Oh, are you? What do we got?
So I took Le'Veon Bell with my first.
What pick did you have?
I had pick 10.
Oh, that's I like that.
14. So out of 14. Let me give you who's on the board here. Kelsey is number 1 up here.
Ooh.
AB still on the board. Mike Evans, Keenan Allen.
So running backs went nuts.
Yeah, running backs did go. Let me look at the draft board real quick.
I feel like Kelsey is something for you. This
man. I'm glad because I almost went Julio where I was picking, but I went, nah, I better take a running back. And
I'm going to tell you this right now. You are so pro Antonio Brown and been in defense of him. He just doesn't want to play in the preseason. He's actually, I just saw a report that it looks like he's really close to returning back to practice. So this would fall
in
line.
He was in uniform and like running routes pregame and all that stuff. So
he should be back.
He looks good.
And it falls in line with the David Chow report that, you know, like he's going to be totally good, but you haven't relented. Yeah. I think don't you have him at 5 at wide receiver?
Yeah. 6. But 6? Yeah,
I think this is your pick. I think Antonio Brown's your pick in the second round. You were about to take a wide out. He's sitting there. The only other thing is you've been talking about Travis Kelce so much. This is full PPR, isn't it? Or is it half?
Yes. Yeah, it's full.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take Kelce.
Oh, you're going to go against Brown? What has Brown done for you lately?
I don't know that it's really going against Brown. It's more going for Kelce. So, yeah, I think I'm going to pull the trigger here. And I wanted to mock. It's funny because I wanted to mock drafting Travis Kelce in our ITL mocks that we do, which, by the way, I'm going to talk about that with Bubba a little bit. But that is it makes me feel like Picasso.
Why? You know, you mean just painting? Yeah, just creating these beautiful pieces of art.
That's right.
Exactly. That nobody listens to.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
yes,
I know exactly what you're talking about. I know
I'm
that
totally unappreciated in my time. So
it is.
It's me and Picasso.
Yeah, you know what? Buddies. It's a great point that you just bring up. By the way, the amount of appreciation that will actually truly be out there for ITL if we were to just die or quit, I think would be pretty astounding. If people really if you go back and think. And this isn't, we don't need to do the whole, which I always love to do, the whole, like, we're not, you know, given our proper dues and whatnot. Like, not like that, but, like, I don't think enough people appreciate the football podcast because there's so many out there that we take some of our insanity and nobody does the mock drafts like we do. I know there have been a lot of other places that I think have adopted the live mock drafting way more. We've been doing it for 5 years. I think over the last 3 years, it's been adopted. I'm not saying that we were the origins of it because I don't think we were, but nobody does those like we do. And you do paint a beautiful piece of art for people to consume in the fantasy football world. And I think it is underappreciated.
Yeah, I you're absolutely right about underappreciated. I know that. But,
and under listened to and under downloaded and under subscribed and under Patreon.
So if you're listening, please, you know, help us out. Go listen to the latest mock draft. Tell me it's not hilarious.
I might even listen to it.
Look at how good they are. Even the Welsh is going back and listening.
I hate myself. Why would I listen to myself? So I might even do it. That is how good these things are.
So much.
So what were we talking about?
We were talking about the preseason
we were saying something
Brown
with Bubba. Oh yeah, You were making your pick. That's what it was. You were about to make your pick. Did you? And this is what you were alluding to. You were saying, which is hilarious. You have been for like 4 episodes being like, I want to like practice taking Kelce and see what the team looks like. It never works for you, and now you're going to do it in a real league.
And I did it. I just did it. So I got Kelce. So I started out Le'Veon Bell, Travis Kelce.
What are you going to do about running back in that league?
Well, I'm going to be waiting until the next round to take my next one.
Yeah. So. Oh, you got Le'Veon Bell. For some reason, my brain went to Antonio Brown and Kelce. You got Le'Veon Bell and Kelce. That's pretty damn good.
Right. I'm not what you just did. So, no.
You would have been a great look, by the way, if you had taken Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell as a Steeler fan. They would have been very on brand for you in your defense of both of those players.
Well, I don't think I've defended Bell at all. When have I? I've defended AB, but I don't think I've defended Bell at all. And I've always talked about, I feel like you've defended him more than me.
Maybe I have.
Because I always said, and I said this from the jump, he's going to be way worse with a different team than Pittsburgh.
Particularly Adam Gase.
And you kind of poo-pooed that when I was saying it a couple years ago. And I think that him going to the Jets, I think you have to expect regression, and that offensive line just isn't as good enough. And he's not even wanted by the head coach.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
The general manager that signed him has since been fired.
Googly eyes, doesn't want him. All right. We got to go to break. When we come back, let's do a few quick notes on preseason week 2. And then we're going to talk about these fantasy pros players that have been moving up and down. So don't go anywhere in this league right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Bogdan and the Welsh.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Season-long fantasy football drafts are in full swing, and Roto Experts, they've got you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package with the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the interwebs. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts team provide dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you're playing. So go and save 10% at rotoexperts.com, promo code FNTSY. 10% off, promo code FNTSY, the NFL 365 fantasy football package only at rotoexperts.com. Welcome back. This is In This League. I am Chris Welsh. Find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh and Mr. Scott Bogman on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Those are the handles, and Patreon is definitely the place to go. We're kind of in a transitional thing with the website we got to work on. And I mean, really, here's what we need. We need a team of people that don't want money. And then they want to do lots of work, but they don't want money.
Is there anyone that doesn't need a team of people that don't want money?
I mean, I don't know. Probably. There's core Apple. I don't think Apple needs people that don't work for money. You know, big important places. That's one.
Right.
That's
right.
One particularly.
Yeah.
The White House.
You know.
The White House. Probably pay those people. That's an important place.
I mean, are you comparing In This League to Apple and the White House?
No, I'm saying we need people that don't want money that want to do stuff. We need those people to want money that are in places like the White House and Apple and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
We need like our, like the Democratic or Republican National Convention people. We need the volunteers.
Yeah, exactly.
So don't volunteer for voting stuff.
100%.
Volunteer for In This League.
Yeah, ITL or die. That's what we're trying to tell you. We need a few of those things. But regardless, you guys know where to find us and get at us. All right. So fantasy football talk, but preseason talk. That's where I wanted to go real quick with the Thursday games, because a couple things jumped out to me. Number one seemed to be a polarizing excitement or a renewed polarizing excitement for Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson was 6-for-10, 58 yards, and obviously wasn't going to play a whole bunch. He had a huge run where he was just leaping over to score a touchdown that was called back, which is lame. He ended up only having 2 rushes for 14 yards, but everyone got pretty excited. They kept on their structure of game plan, which I think this is something to take away. As excited as we get about Lamar Jackson, and you tell me if you feel different, Boggs, though I do think one more of these, Lamar Jackson, could supplant the Kyler Murray excitement. But even taking Lamar Jackson out, their game plan still seems like what it would be in the regular season. They rushed 37 times for 171 yards and a touchdown. They only got the ball to 16 catches, which actually, right, I think there was only like 7 guys that caught a ball. 6 catches, 180 yards that the receivers actually got for a total of 26 passes across 3 quarterbacks. So there you go. 16 completions, 26 passes, but 37 rushes. Justice Hill looked pretty good. 10 carries, 49 yards and a touchdown. He's a very popular I don't want to call him a handcuff, but like sleeper back end guy to maybe supplant Mark Ingram. But I ask you, Lamar Jackson looked good. He wants to throw more. But ultimately, is a game plan actually going to do that when they're still rushing practically 40 times? I mean, Green Bay rushed 18 times in this game, and literally Baltimore doubled that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you have to do if you're the Ravens. I think you're going to have to run the ball a ton because they lost so much on defense, too. C.J. Mosley's gone. Weddle's gone. Terrell Suggs, their leader, is gone. Za'Darius Smith, gone. So they lost 50% of their starters on defense, and they need to run the ball to keep the newer guys off the field for too long, or otherwise, you know, it's going to be a long, long season for the Ratbirds. So I think keeping it on the ground with Hill, with Gus Edwards, with Mark Ingram, with Lamar Jackson is a smart way to go. I do know that they want to showcase Lamar Jackson as a thrower a little bit more, and he looked good in this game. I did get to see a big chunk of this on one of the replays, the Welsh, on, you know, how NFL Network does their bit where you're not going to get a new show at all during the preseason. What you're going to get is all the preseason games, and then right before the preseason games start, you'll get a news. You'll get a new show. So I don't like that bit too much. To be honest, I feel like they should do the NFL Network 2 channel, kind of like how ESPN expanded, where with one channel they're running just games, and the other channel you're getting the news people. But I digress on that. But that's what they're going to have to do. I think Justice Hill is going to see a little spike here in his stock rising a little bit because he did look good and he scored a touchdown. 4.9 yards per carry, almost 5 yards per carry. Looked pretty damn good.
Yeah, it looks like he's good out there. The one thing I just want to bring back with Lamar Jackson, I believe last year he averaged around like 7 yards per pass attempt. It was, again, it's only 10 pass attempts, but it was still low. It was 5.8 yards he had per pass attempt, 58 yards he had on 10 attempts on 6 completions. So what I'm worried about is, okay, what I say, 26 pass attempts in this game, he was still getting 23, 24. His last 4 games of the season, he averaged, looks like, I think the number would be safe to say 23 pass attempts a game, yet only one of those was over 200 yards because they don't throw the ball deep. So they're saying we're going to pass more, yet their heavy game plan is rushing. I just still am not sure I see a scenario where, maybe Marquise Brown is somebody that's going to be able to stretch the field a little bit if they get the ball to Mark Andrews. It still feels like maybe Jackson goes up a little bit in passing. He doesn't go deep. There actually could be a worry, by the way, if he purposely tries to run less and they pass a little bit more, but they don't get the ball deep. Statistically, you could see him go down a little bit. But either way, he's developing as a passer, which is a positive. I hope the game plan develops around him. That's where I worry.
Yeah, I mean, we need to see how all this clicks together when everyone's healthy, right? Because Brown isn't all the way back yet. So I think it could be a lot better, but I don't know that I would bet on it. And I think I kind of have Lamar Jackson ranked as that. You know, he's going to have those explosive games where he goes off running and he has some good throws, but I'm not going to be too heavily invested. I do like to take Lamar Jackson because he's just so much fun to watch and his upside is insane.
Yeah.
But it's not like he's not a guy that I'm going to draft in every league and be like, okay, I'm just good.
Nah, quarterback stuff would be kind of fun. On the opposite end, the Raiders and the Cardinals faced off, which was super annoying to me, by the way, because like I was trying to drive home. I had to, get to work and I was, leaving work to then go and do some stuff in preparation for CBS Fantasy Baseball today. And I'm driving and I'm like, what the hell is going on right now? Because I drive the direction of a freeway that hits the Cardinal Stadium. And then I go, God damn it.
Dude, it happened to me too. And I'm way further away from the stadium than you are. But we got stadium traffic when it is my, Mama Bogman's birthday. So I took her out to dinner and we went, the restaurant we went to was off of the 17 and we were in football traffic, heading down to the 17, and that's not even close to the damn stadium.
No, and I'm like directly off of it. Luckily, the game started at 5 when I was kind of on the road, but still, it was super obnoxious. But some things that came from this game is the Cardinals' offensive line is absolute trash. Kyler Murray wasn't great. He was only 3 for 8, 12 yards passing. He was also sacked twice. That's, you don't want to see that in the early throws of it. And I think, if anything, there's people that are just antsy. Like I saw a lot of negative commentary around Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. I don't really hear any of it, but because none of the guys are working to let's get Larry and Kyler Murray and David Johnson. Let's give them a bunch of series. David Johnson did have 4 carries in this, which I kind of like to see. So I'm not reading too much into that, but I do look at the Cardinals offensive line comparative to the offense that they want to run. And I feel like maybe slow our roll just a tiny bit on Kyler Murray going as the, freaking 6 overall quarterback or whatever people are trying to do. Like, I think if you look at values at this point, like, let me look at Fantasy Pros. I don't want to speak out of turn here with what I'm assuming, but like, we've been seeing Kyler Murray going, like, especially in expert drafts, he's been going inside the top 10. So Fantasy Pros, Kyler Murray's 12, Lamar Jackson's 15. Let's adjust it to say Lamar Jackson's 15 and Kyler Murray's 10. I'd rather have Lamar Jackson with his value than I would relative to Kyler Murray. And I think Lamar Jackson might outscore Kyler Murray this year.
And you know what's funny is watching Lamar Jackson yesterday, I was kind of thinking of that Have we pushed Kyler Murray out too far? But I don't think we have, just because I think Kyler Murray's a little more accurate than Lamar Jackson is throwing the ball. But the offensive line has looked bad so far, and there's definitely going to be a rank adjustment an adjustment for Murray going from college to the NFL. I think I'm more excited for the next preseason game where these guys get a whole half, maybe three quarters, to really see how bad that offensive line looks. Because if they can just get it to mediocre, that offense can be insane.
I agree. And so, I agree with you. Like in all the conversation we're having, you can't go nuts with anything because it's minimal stuff. You know what I mean? These are minimal things that we're talking about here. Like Kyler Murray was in for what, 8 pass attempts. He did only complete 3. He got beat up early. There's adjustments. You don't go and say, oh, Kyler Murray's trash or anything like that. But when Kyler Murray's going as a 9th quarterback, no thanks. If you're in the 12, 13, 14 range, that's where I think it's like the upside's pretty good. But so is Lamar Jackson, though I both express a little bit of worry on both ends. Couple other little things I'm looking at. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you had any other notes that jumped out to you as far as
Dexter Williams looked really bad. I like that.
Okay, so that's on a positive front for you.
Yeah, just for me versus Jake. Dwayne Haskins made a really good touchdown pass against the Bengals. And this was kind of one of those things, though, where, you know, he had a guy hanging off of him and he made the throw, which was very impressive. But his wide receiver was pretty open. And this is the thing that's going to make Haskins good if he decides to act on it, is for whatever reason, when he's playing in college, he kind of was the Derek Carr to me of Ohio State, because he was just gun shy at throwing the ball downfield unless a guy was college open. So I think that hopefully Jay Gruden is beating it into his head, like, you got to make some of these throws and trust that your wide receivers are going to go get them. You have NFL level talent now. So, which he did at Ohio State a lot too. I mean, you know, having Hill and Paris Campbell and guys like that. Of course, they do have NFL talent at Ohio State as well. But it was a really, really nice throw, and it was good to see him get it just even a little bit more on track, because he looked so god awful in that first game.
I still think it's like week 5 or 6, if not day 1, because they're not committed to day 1, are they?
No. Yeah. No. I think he's still way behind Case Keenum, but just a little bit of a little shred of light, which, I mean, if the Redskins don't start 0-4, I think that's the bigger surprise.
That's a good point. Also, Adrian Peterson ripped off a 26-yarder. It's going to be a problem with Darius Geis early on in the season. Man, Darius Geis still not out there. Adrian Peterson ripping off some runs. That's going to be a problem.
He looked spry. I mean, yes. I know that's an old person saying, but he looked spry. He looked springy and ready to go, because at the end of that run, too, he could have stepped out of bounds. It's a preseason. Who cares? Nope. He went right back in and took the punishment to get an extra 3 or 4 yards on the end of it. So he's ready for the regular season to start.
Last two I'll throw out from just talking about the Thursday games, and then either we'll start the next segment or in here going through the Fantasy Pros rank adjusters. What about these two guys as far as your feelings? Miles Sanders got a good 5 carries in there, looked pretty solid. You know, he's continuously been the talk, where Jordan Howard, I think he dropped his only pass attempt, wasn't great. And then you've also got a guy like Ty Montgomery, who really seems like, and I feel like I said this a couple weeks back, maybe even in joking, that I feel like Gase is the type of guy that will sneakily utilize Ty Montgomery, even to the point where I'm not sure it annoys Lev Bell owners, but it could be like, well, what's going on here? Why isn't Lev Bell on every single series? I mean, they're going to put Ty Montgomery out, I think, in the slot, but I think he's going to be lined up back there. And I wouldn't even be surprised if they're, you know, Bell and Montgomery. Like, if we walked away with Bell with 19 carries and Montgomery with 7 in a game, I'm not going to be too shocked. I think they utilize him. They did in the preseason game, big whoop. 7 carries, 36 yards, and a touchdown. He looks solid. So Miles Sanders, Ty Montgomery, any thoughts?
Well, I just took Miles Sanders in our 3-sport draft. So
he has a rookie draft. That was the pick to make.
Right.
It's a great pick. I think you got him at 5, too, by the way, didn't you?
4. Yeah, 4, not 5. But
okay.
Yeah, I mean, N'Keal Harry went because someone really needed a wide out. I was one pick away from David Montgomery, but that wasn't going to happen.
No.
But But I think you could be right on Ty Montgomery, but I think it's going to be more at the annoyance of the wide receivers and Elijah McGuire. You know what I mean? I think it's than it is Bell. It could be annoying to Bell because of this Adam Gase stuff and how he didn't want Bell and all that stuff. But I don't know.
Because Adam Gase doesn't care about what money they spent on Bell. He doesn't care about any of those things. He might want to. They might want to keep him fresh. Like I don't. I think they brought in Ty Montgomery is just the classic piece that Gase would want to utilize, and I'm not sure it comes so much in the running game. You know, and it could be him split out wide that's, you know, end arounds and stuff like that. But, like, Ty Montgomery is going to do something in the offense. I'm not saying it's going to be Tariq Cohen level or anything like that. But I think he's going to have a couple weeks that are going to surprise. And especially if Lev Bell struggles at all in the offense, I wonder what Gase does. This is all just outside speculation stuff. I'm still taking Bell like where you took him. You have to do all of those type of things. I just wonder if Ty Montgomery, you know, deep league is maybe a guy to roster.
Yeah, he definitely could be, and he could be one of those guys where, you know, if he's just a love of Adam Gase, you see him get 10 touches in the first game, and he's one of the most added guys after week one.
They also ran the ball.
I can easily see that.
They also ran the ball 31 times in this game. I mean, I think for the most part, you're going to see more rushing than anything else. I mean, Atlanta ran it 29 times, but they also ended up throwing the ball. What did they throw the ball? Jesus, like 43 times. Where in this Jets game, you only had a total of 20 pass attempts where they ran the ball 31 times. So not saying this is the structure of what the offense is going to look like, but I'm also not saying that it might not be a little bit of a part of it. They do have Bilal Powell. They've got Ty Montgomery. They've got Lev Bell. I don't think it's out of the question that they use all of them. And it might be Lev Bell still gets 20 carries, but you might see another 10 to 12 being used between Ty Montgomery and Bilal Powell, which might just annoy people in general.
Yeah.
Especially if it vultures.
Yeah, I mean, the touchdowns is what would really be aggravating because Bell isn't the best goal line running back either. He didn't score a ton of touchdowns for Pittsburgh, and he especially didn't score a ton of he didn't have a ton of explosive plays.
Well, and that's why
Montgomery's better for that.
And you could also see it with Bilal Powell a little bit. All right, well, we got to go to break real quick. When we come back, we're going to take a look at this up and down list from Fantasy Pros. Not much more we're going to get from preseason week two, of course, outside of major injuries that we're missing, hint, hint. But we are going to talk about some of these up and down Fantasy Pros players. So don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire. It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
Welcome back. More In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Catch the podcast. You can go to podcasts on Spotify, iHeartRadio. Not just this one, but I highly suggest you listen to this one. We've got all the other In This League products that are out there and available to you. So just search in any podcast format. You'll get it. We have got Casey Bubba and John Lobb coming up in the next couple hours. So make sure you're locked in. But we're talking about the ups and downs on Fantasy Pros. Now, this isn't on that list, but what do you think about this as far as an up and down value? There was a note a couple days ago that said, you know, Melvin Gordon and the Chargers are no closer to any deal. I think maybe there was a little bit of a talk, but just no movement has happened. And then you get a lot of positive Austin Eckler conversation. I believe Austin Eckler is going around RB33 across the industry right now. Then another piece, and that the insinuation there is like, Melvin Gordon, no good movement. Austin Eckler at 33, there's a value. We didn't see in the preseason game go this way, but I don't think that tells us too much until this next one. But ESPN's Eric Williams says he expects the Chargers to use Eckler and Justin Jackson in a 50-50 split during Gordon's holdout. So what does that do as far as an up or down? I think it's an easy up on Justin Jackson because he's so dang low. But because Gordon is still holding out, do you think the arrow belongs going up on Eckler, or do you think RB33 is the right spot?
I think RB33 is pretty close to the right spot, because I just don't know how much higher you can move Eckler from that spot. I don't know how much more he's going to take. I think he was already fairly close to 50-50 with Melvin Gordon anyway. Maybe they were going to mix more of the three, so he wasn't going to be 50-50 just to get Justin Jackson on the field a little bit more because he was so good at the end of last season. So, but I think 50-50 is about right. I think if the Chargers are up, you're going to see a little bit more of Justin Jackson at the end of the game trying to grind it out. And if the Chargers are behind or if the game is close, you're going to see a little bit more of Austin Eckler in those games. So I think that a 50-50 split is about right. But, you know, I think you have to kind of take into consideration who they're playing. If they're playing the Chiefs, I feel like Eckler's going to get more in that game and have a better game. If they're playing, you know, the Jets, probably a little bit more of Justin Jackson at the end of the game because they should be winning.
I'd also throw in one of the reasons why you can look at like the 30s and be really positive about Eckler is even if Gordon comes back, Eckler still has value. He actually doesn't like where if Gordon comes back, I'm not saying Justin Jackson is trash, but I'm saying he probably doesn't need to be owned anymore. Where Eckler still is good. And even if Gordon comes back and needs a week or two to get his feet under him, you're going to have a couple. You might have a scenario here. You might get 2 or 3 weeks to actually get full Austin Eckler. Then Gordon comes back, and then you might still get a good 50-50 split. And then Eckler returns back. So is an RB3 worth 3 to 5 full starting weeks of if he's the full go starter, even at 50-50, he's an RB2. And then he's still probably close to flex optional if Melvin Gordon comes back. So that's why, like, he's kind of a safe guy. So that's just that's an interesting one on the side outside of what you have got here.
I mean, we both have Eckler in the 30s in our ranks and Justin Jackson down at 50 because should Melvin Gordon come back, it pretty much wrecks Justin Jackson's value. Well, let me ask you this real quick. Austin Eckler or Royce Freeman?
Ooh, I kind of want to look at my ranks so I give you the appropriate answer. Off the top of my head, I want, and I'll see if I'm right with my ranks, I want to tell you Royce Freeman, but let's see if that's who I have.
It's not.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I was actually almost going against the grain here.
You know,
I have them very close. Yeah, I do have Eckler one spot ahead. I think I have Eckler at like 35 or 34. This week, moving through this weekend makes me feel even more comfortable about Eckler. Into next week, I think it's becoming no-brainer. But I really like Royce Freeman, so that's kind of why I said Royce Freeman off the top of my brain. I think they're also
and
going.
And I've got Freeman ahead, and I'm not into Royce Freeman. But I think that that's closer to a true 50-50 split, you know, kind of regardless of game script. I think it's more of a 60-40 split in Philip Lindsay's favor, which is why I haven't been lowering Lindsay. But I'm with you, Freeman, I think, a little bit ahead. So
yeah, it's right in that area.
You're the Freeman stan.
I am. I love Royce Freeman this year. He's a guy that I want to be owning. All right, so you put this together, so feel free to paint the narrative here. Paint the narrative of the guys moving up. Where do you want to go with this? Because you've got a good list of players from, you know, low end to high end.
Yeah, you know, some of these players moving up, I don't necessarily agree with. I think OBJ moving up is fine.
I don't think that's fine. He's even on the hamstring thing right now.
Yeah, but I think he's moving up because people are moving AB down. So I think it's more of a product of people moving AB down. Of course, AB didn't show up on the down list, so maybe I'm wrong there.
We should also qualify what you did here was you went on Fantasy Pros, and they are starting to dictate with like little arrows and stuff of the guys that have moved up and down. So you curated the players that Fantasy Pros currently is dictating as up and down.
Right, and I think some of these ones that are going up and down at the top are not surprising. Like James Conner, Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon are all dropping a little bit. I think that wide receivers are moving up a little bit, and that's why Conner's going down. Gurley, the injury, Melvin Gordon, the holdout, not a surprise at all here. I was a little surprised to see Deshaun Watson moving south because I figured he would be going up with this Andrew Luck news. You know, I wonder, with the Andrew Luck news, he would be clear cut the number two QB now.
I wonder, though, I think maybe you're missing a trend, maybe not, but you have three quarterbacks on this down list, Watson, Rodgers, and Andrew Luck, and Russell Wilson, Boggs. I think it's just the position that's moving down. I don't think it's about the players themselves or their values. It's that they are just all moving down. Doesn't that seem right?
And this is among the overall ranks.
So yeah, that, and that's yes, what I'm saying.
I think you're absolutely right there. Moving up, I don't know why Stefon Diggs would be moving up. It's, that one perplexes me. So
is there a receiver, though, that he's moved? Are there a couple guys that have moved down that people? I mean, could that be A.J. Green and maybe, Antonio Brown, people wanting to push him up a little bit? Maybe that's what that's about. I don't really buy it. I agree with you. I don't buy it.
Okay, so you know what? That's a great point that you make. A.J. Green's moving down, and Amari Cooper. He didn't get the arrow down, but with the plantar fascia strain, I think that people are going to be moving him down. Or maybe they're leaving him where he is and just moving Diggs ahead of him. Maybe that's more of what it is. Kerryon Johnson. Kerryon Johnson, I feel like for no reason, has gotten helium over the last 2 weeks. Are you with me on that?
There's definitely nothing. Again, I would liken it back to
Theo Riddick's gone. I mean,
well, yeah, CJ Anderson's there. I think he's a bit of a, he could be a problem. I'm not saying he shouldn't be a problem, by the way, but in football world, he could be a problem. I'm very pro.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but Kerryon's ahead of Damian Williams and Leonard Fournette now in overall rank.
Yeah, but see, I mean but I'm there. Like, that's where I can't get too crazy with you, because I have Kerryon Johnson above both those guys. That's where I've been the entire offseason. Outside of Damian Williams took a bigger hit for me. I had Damian Williams right above Kerryon, and even though like it was more reluctant. And then when you got the split conversations and stuff, and I'm just moving off of him, I think Kerryon is due for a big season. That's where I'm at with him. To your point of why is he moving up, there is no news that's actually moved him up. I want to be like I've said with a couple of these others, is it due to, you know, guys falling? Maybe, you know, maybe with Bell or, let's see, you've got Gordon. Well, I was trying to say with Elliott moving down a little bit, maybe it's pushing a few more running backs up because of concern. Maybe with Gordon falling down and Damian Williams falling down, Kerryon Johnson ends up being the beneficiary. Like, he hasn't moved from, like, Fournette has actually been the beneficiary to me over the last 2 weeks. He's the guy that's rocketed up. Kerryon Johnson hasn't moved like an inch for me.
I just, we haven't heard anything about Kerryon. And like you said, I get moving Williams behind him, maybe even Marlon Mack behind him, who has fallen down below him. At 38 among PPR ranks here overall, because I think Foreman came in. So I think it's little teeny tiny news about the other backs is pushing these guys who are kind of at a standstill up. So I think there's definitely something to that. And I like that you pointed that out there. I couldn't put Kerryon ahead of Leonard Fournette. Everybody wants to call Leonard Fournette injury prone, and that's fine. He's been injured both seasons he's played in the NFL, but Kerryon played in one season and got hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and they brought in a decent backup. So I don't know why we wouldn't. I mean, maybe because he just hasn't played long enough to get the label yet.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you could also
one year and got hurt.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I know they've been traditionally a very pass heavy offense, but you bring in a guy like TJ Hawkinson who can also be a solid solid run blocker. You've also taken away Golden Tate. Again, they've got, you know, you got Marvin Jones, you've got Kenny Golladay, and I know there's a good rapport with Danny Amendola. So you still have that, but they also, like, you see Kerryon Johnson and you see the explosiveness in him. You've backed him up with CJ Anderson. Maybe there's going to be a concerted effort, which is my hope, that there's a little bit more push on the run game, or maybe it's more about more push on Kerryon Johnson, because Kerryon Johnson, I mean, maybe we could argue this, Kerryon Johnson is the most talented offensive player on that team. Like, I know you can say quarterback, that's fine. I'm not going to argue. Someone might say Golladay, but Kerryon Johnson is a player that I think you want to run the offense through.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that maybe Kerryon is more valuable than Golladay because of just the position running back is. I would say Galladay is better. He's the better player between the two of those guys.
I mean, you know me. Go all day.
Yeah, exactly. So, and at this point on this list, when we're talking about guys moving up and down, the downs kind of get boring and obvious. Yeah. You know, Golden Tate suspended, Delanie Walker old, Jack Doyle with the injury stuff, Jerick McKinnon starting the year on the pup.
Tight ends suspended. Like crazy, though, dude. Look at all these tight ends and quarterbacks just plummeting down the overall list, which is probably just catching up with people's strategies. That's all that it's doing. People are taking quarterbacks and tight ends late, and the overall lists are representing what people are starting to do, which you and I have always, like, I know there's a lot of people out there that, and I'm not saying this is wrong at all, but they'll only spit out a projection, and that's it. That's what the rank is. But you and I will also equate, like, draft stock. We'll draft, right. You know, how we draft, how we approach our drafts into it, where sure, the quarterbacks might be way more valuable from a projection based standpoint, but because of how we're drafting in an overall, like, you clump like 10 quarterbacks down there because you're just like, I'll take the best one. And I actually think that's, I enjoy that. It's almost like tier based drafting.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of what our buddy Joe does with RPV.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's exactly
we kind of
right.
make our own version. Right, exactly. The guy's moving up, way more interesting. Chris Carson is moving up.
He was on the pod.
I feel like a lot of that is the, you know, the Pete Carroll talking about him. But with him, Rashad Penny's moving up as well.
Well, so there was words out there about how those two, you know, there could be, I mean, the initial stuff was those two could be a 50-50. We're now getting more words that not only is Carson going to be in the pass game, we talked about this on the last football podcast, but not only is Carson going to be more in the passing game, but they're probably going to lean on Carson more than Penny. The reason you can still be on Penny, and I think we iterated this, is this has been the number one rush team. So even though right. Carson could be out there for 20 carries and he could have four catches, it doesn't mean Penny can't be out there for another 10 to 12 carries and a couple catches himself, which would make him valuable.
Right, exactly. Tevin Coleman moving up the Welsh. I think it's just McKinnon going down. And I think Breida needs to be, and he's on this list too, of moving up. But he's one of the guys that I moved up the most in my list.
Okay, so you're with me then, finally.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think I always kind of was. I just thought that I figured that they could split those two. I didn't think Coleman was in too much of a worry of splitting with McKinnon and Breida. I just think that now that we know that McKinnon is going on the pup, he's just going to be nothing this year. So it's those guys. It's Breida and it's Coleman.
And to be fair about Breida, one of the things that could hold him back, because I think Tevin Coleman is the guy to own. Like, I've moved him into the same tier with Chris Carson and David Montgomery. He's below them, but like, that's the type of ownership I want to have in Tevin Coleman, and I believe in with Kyle Shanahan. The thing that could go against Breida, that I think he's super explosive, I think they're going to want to use him in different spots, is the freaking 49ers have a million of these explosive players that they want to move around. Debo, they've got Dante Pettis, Jalen Hurd is going to be a problem. You still got Kittle, and then you've got Breida. So if they decide they want a running back, a real good running back split, that's going to hugely benefit Breida. If not, and then they're just trying to find ways, it could hurt him a little bit because of guys like Hurd and Debo and whatnot. But it's fun to watch. The 49ers offense, I think, is sneakily an offense where you want to take players from because of how Shanahan could use them.
Yeah, I mean, we're just waiting for everything to click. I mean, we had that stupid report that didn't matter, I thought, where Jimmy Garoppolo threw five picks in a row in practice. Who cares?
I meant to open up the last pod, by the way, being like, hey, did you hear that Jimmy threw five picks? Because it's all I heard. That's all I heard about. We've only got about a minute and a half here. So do you have a couple ups that jump out to you?
I'm going to do your favorite thing. I'm going to list some players here, the Welsh.
All right, list them.
Duke Johnson moved up because he moved teams. He's also banged up, which surprised me to see him move up. Adam Humphreys moved up because of he was just been targeted by Mariota a bunch. But Singletary had a good preseason performance, so he moved up a little bit. Tony Pollard and Darwin Thompson are both moving up boards. I think Pollard because obviously the holdout in Jerry Jones' comments, Darwin Thompson scored a touchdown in the preseason. Your boy Jalen Hurd moving up a lot of lists. He was still down in the 300s, I think, but moving up lists. Brian Hill fighting for that number two job, which Quadri Allison looked the best of all those backups in the most recent preseason game. Hunter Renfro is Hard Knocks. Dontrell Hilliard's because Kareem Hunt is suspended and he should be the backup to start the season. And Daryl Williams because people just want a piece of the Chiefs offense when you get that deep into it. So yeah. Who did you move up the most out of those on your most recent?
Well, did you
changes?
Say Devin Singletary or did you skip him because you knew I was?
No, I said Devin Singletary.
Oh, I mean, Devin Singletary has been moving up. Of the players that you listed, you know, I'm definitely going to have one more update that's going to drop on ITL. Jalen Hurd is a guy that, I mean, just as a 49er fan, I'm a lot more excited about. And, you know, this team really could. They really could feature Debo and Jalen Hurd. Hunter Renfro, though, is one of those players that I think sneakily could be a deep league add. So I was already in on Duke, already in on Devin Singletary. Darwin makes sense, but Renfro and Jalen Hurd for me. All right, that is good stuff, Bogman, put together. We have got Casey Bubba and John Lobb coming up on the show. I am ducking out, so it will be Bogman and the crew. Lots of golf talk and screaming. That's what I hear is going to happen. So, no, I'm just kidding. But don't go anywhere. More Bogman and the rest of In This League coming up right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.